And I told her, I said, my name is Papa Troy. And I said, I've been watching you, man. We've been wanting to rescue you for a long, long time. And she said, I knew my papa would come to rescue me. She had a revelation of God, not of me, but I represented something to her. She got it, that it was the Father that came to rescue her.
Things can look hopeless when we sit in our natural strength, but your providing is this powerful message of hope and that changes the way we live lives.
You are still his little boy or you're still his little girl, however old that you are. He actually does not hate your humanity. He loves your humanity, and he wants to redeem every single part of it.
For the first time, I have partnered with a product. It's called Mamabuchi Honey, and here's one reason why. 50% of every sale goes directly towards helping the ministry create more media. But it's actually more than that. This partnership is also providing real, tangible help to families in Zambia and Ethiopia, providing income, education, and hope through sustainable beekeeping. And the honey itself is actually extraordinary. It's raw and wild, it's organic, and it's packed with powerful nutritional and even medicinal properties. It's been tested and it's been found to be twice as potent as Manuka honey in its healing strength. Mamabuchi is actually feeding both body and spirit. It's meeting practical needs, it's nourishing families, and it's helping us fund the ministry. So I'm honored to invite you to partner with both missions. Visit lizwright.org/honey and you'll find out more information. I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in from around the nations of the world for what's going to be an extraordinary episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, Mila's Right. And my friend, my special guest joining me for today's conversation. These are just some of his accomplishments and the things that are said about him. So he's the senior pastor of Open Door Church in Texas. He is walking in the office, recognized and loved as a global prophet. He rescues thousands of previously trafficked women and children around the world. He's a father and a spiritual father, literally to thousands. He tears down the enemy's kingdom as a passionate abolitionist. He builds the kingdom of God on earth through his relationship with Jesus. And he calls us all into action. He's inspirational to be around. He's the author of 16 books. And the one that I want to have a conversation with him about today is called Numbers That Prophesy, Hearing God Through Historic Headlines and Numbers That Preach. And I think in our world right now, this is an essential book. It's an essential prophetic lens to see life through. So I am super excited to have joining me for the conversation today, Troy Brewer. Troy, welcome.
Well, my goodness, Liz, thank you so much. What a great privilege it is to be with you again today. I've missed you.
Oh, I missed you too. I know. It's great. Every time I see you, it's brilliant.
Thank you. Holy Spirit
usually is pouring out.
Yes. Yeah. You know, we just right before we started this recording, me and you were praying together and the fire of the Lord hit us both. And we're like, okay, we're wrecked now. I don't know if we can actually do anything. So we'll see.
We'll try. Just as we're having this conversation, guys, just start to drink in the anointing, drink in the wisdom and the presence of God that we're hosting right now. I can feel his presence. Okay, Troy, deep dive. I absolutely love your book. And like I said at the beginning, I just think it's an essential message right now. It's an essential way to see the world and to understand the sovereignty of God. So there's a quote. I thought, let's just bounce off here. You make a profound statement. At the beginning of the book, you say, God is revealing knowledge through the common cultural events of every society on earth. God is speaking through everything going on around you. And I just sat there and thought, wow, talk about sitting life in the context of divine perspective. So I thought, can you just speak into that? Like, how do we adjust and begin to see life this way?
Well, thank you so much. This is one of my favorite topics on the planet Earth.
Isn't it?
This is it, because I'm not looking for a word. I'm looking for the kingdom, and the kingdom is everywhere. And there's a word in it, because the kingdom always speaks of the king. And so I remember when I first got saved, I began to realize, Liz, that God Almighty was speaking through absolutely everything, because Jesus and the Holy Spirit are involved in every single part of our lives. And Romans 1:20 actually says this. Romans 1:20 says that it just basically says that God is speaking through the understanding of things that are made. It says the invisible things of him. The invisible, the things that you can't see about God, even his eternal power and Godhead, is clearly seen being understood by the things that are made, so that the world is without excuse. It's like, if you want to know what God is speaking, just start looking around you. And prophetic speech and parable and idiom and type and shadow is going on everywhere around us. And so the Lord actually employs all things within our culture, all things within our everyday lives, to glorify him. Whether they're good things or bad things, it doesn't matter to the Lord. He employs all those things. And once you begin to see this, you cannot unsee it. And it's been an amazing journey for my 40 years of walking with Jesus to be able to understand that and how all of that works.
Yeah. It's like you see everything redemptively, don't you? Like, you're looking
at,
you can tell when you're reading, and when I hear you speaking, you can see that you have such a clear understanding of the sovereignty of God, of who he is as the Aleph Tav, the beginning and the end, the creator. And I love it. It's like in the bigger picture, on a national and global level. And there's so many illustrations that you use, major historic events, you know, where you can see, when you look at it through the lens of heaven's eyes, it's just a dramatically different experience, isn't it? But it also, in the very personal circumstances, there's a story that you share. And I just thought, oh, that's so beautiful, about your little boy who's now an adult. And it was it the tracks in the snow?
Yes.
And how the Lord just spoke to you through that moment. It became a divine story. Will you just share that? Because I just thought it was so beautiful there.
Oh, well, it doesn't snow very often in Texas. And snowed, and it was the first big snow that Ben, my little boy, had ever experienced. And I walked outside in the front yard, and I went to go get the mail. And as I was walking across the front yard, I heard this crunch going on behind me, and I turned around. And as a little boy, he was jumping from one step to another step to another step. And I said, Ben, what are you doing? And he said, Daddy, I'm going to walk right where you walk. And I instantly knew that that was the Father speaking to me. It wasn't him. Yes, it was him talking. But the scenario, it was like one of the strongest sermons that I ever heard. It was a prophecy that he would be in ministry. It was a prophecy that he was going to go all over the world and rescue kids, like what I've gone all over the world and done that. And it was also a warning from the Lord, all at the same exact time, of this is for real and it's now. And it happened through an illustrative sermon of just an everyday common experience, that there was an extraordinary word within it. And the way I try and look at things, Liz, if I'm going to hear God speak prophetically through everything going on around me, is this: if that was a dream, what would it mean? If I dreamt that, I would know exactly what that meant. But this wasn't a dream. This was actually happening in my everyday life. And I think that God Almighty speaks to us, just like Jesus said, hey, do you see that common event over there? You see that farmer? Yes. Well, the kingdom of heaven is just like that. Hey, brother, do you see that woman that's sweeping the house? Like, yes, there's a word from God in that. And the kingdom of heaven is just like that. To be able to see how that there are thunderous events that are taking place within our lives, thunderous events within the headlines, But there is a voice within the thunder of everything that actually catches our attention.
It's an amazing perspective to have. I mean, I was just thinking of Jeremiah.
Yes.
When you were, you know, where God says to him, is it three times? What do you see?
Yep.
What do you see? And Jesus has done that in my life as well. When I've had experiences with him, what do you see? And he's resetting the lens of my heart.
Yes.
To sit that, particularly in difficult times, that excruciatingly difficult situation in the context of divine perspective. And I was thinking that when I was reading your book, Troy, I thought, golly, the frontline work that you do, you know, when you're rescuing trafficked people, you know, you've gone into some seriously dark places to bring Jesus, to bring his love, and with incredible courage and love compelling you. And I thought, you know, wow, you have authority to speak into this situation, because if you in the life that you live can see God in everything, I mean, that's profound, and it's very challenging, actually. So I was going to ask you, like, because obviously this is an ongoing journey, isn't it? It's a fruit of your relationship with Jesus. Yes. It's like he's taught you to live this way. Yeah. And it's massively powerful when we do, because it's the truth. He has the final say, right? Ultimately, he writes the narrative of human history and works all things together for good. Things can look hopeless when we sit in our natural strength, but you're providing us this powerful message of hope and that changes the way we live life. So I was going to ask you, are there any stories where the Lord's taught you this? Like, I'm sure there are hundreds, but real time that stand out to you that would be helpful for people? Because you really do have a lot of authority to share this message.
Well, thank you. Yes, ma'am. So, like, I recognize, okay, look, as prophetic kingdom people is, we are called to connect the dots.
Yeah.
Okay. So we connect the dots and it all points to King Jesus. He should always be the hero of all of our stories. Jesus is the hero, right? Even the scriptures, they testify of Jesus. That's the whole point of the scriptures, is to testify of Jesus. But if we're going to be people who prophetically connect the dots, we have to be people who live a life whose joy it is to collect the kingdom dots. So I'm not just a connector. I have to be a collector, which means I have to live a watchful lifestyle of everything going on around me. And so whenever this first started for me, I was sitting on the back porch with my grandfather. I had recently been saved and I had recently led my grandfather to the Lord. And he was my great hero. Big time Texas cowboy, smoked a big old Gandalf pipe, you know, big old giant cowboy hat. And we were sitting on the back porch and we were talking about his new life in Christ and my new life in Christ. And he stopped and everybody in my family calls me Hoss. And he said, Hoss, do you see that tree over there in the backyard? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, that is the last one to lose its leaves in the fall time. And it is the first one to gain its leaves in the springtime. And he said, I wonder what that means. And instantly the Spirit of the Lord spoke and I knew what it meant. I got this interpretation of a common event. And I said, Papa, it means the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And he said, I just read that scripture in the Bible. And he opened up his Bible and he actually had it turned to it. And I said, Papa, the Lord is speaking to you through something that you are observing in your everyday life. And instantly I started looking around me and going, ah, okay, this is the truth. This is how it works. And I also began to look at it in the scripture and I began to see that, like some things, like every single thing that David did somehow testifies of Jesus. And I begin to accept the challenge of that. Is it true? And like, okay, well, yeah, obviously it does it whenever he committed adultery and he killed off, the husband, and that doesn't glorify Jesus. Oh, it does within the understanding of prophetic type. He looked out, he saw a woman who was in covenant with a Gentile. He destroyed the covenant of the Gentile and took her in. Okay, though, that's what he's done for me. He's actually, yeah. Jesus has done that for me. And even the very worst of David's life, I can find a redemptive picture of Jesus within it that is extraordinary. So if I could do that biblically, I should be able to do that. Last week we rescued a 5-year-old little girl, She's only 5 years old. And then we rescued a 10-year-old and 11-year-old on the same exact day. When I spoke to the 10-year-old through a Zoom conference, here she is traumatized. She has been a slave and all these kinds of things. And whenever I spoke to her, I'm speaking to her on a Zoom call, I speak to her and I said, "Father, I need to see your redemptive face in this. I don't want to be traumatized over this. I want to be engaged and involved. How do I bring the kingdom?" And I told her, I said, "My name is Papa Troy." And I said, "I've been watching you, man. We've been wanting to rescue you for a long, long time." And she said, "I knew my papa would come to rescue me."
Whoa.
Okay. So she had a revelation of God, not of me, but I represented something to her. She got it that it was the Father that came to rescue her, even in the midst of the crimes against her, even in the midst of all the things. Liz, if we live this life living, if that was a dream, what would it mean? And how can it glorify Jesus? What is the redemptive value of this thing? You will collect the dots. You will connect the dots. And you'll see Jesus in your life in a way like what you never, ever, ever had before.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Honestly, it's inspired me, Troy, to sit with Jesus and go, okay, open my eyes to yes. see this way. So that everything, I hear you and see you and understand your redemptive purposes in everything and who you want to be known as through these situations and be for us in these situations. It's just profound. Okay, other subject in your book that you go deeply into is numbers. Oh my gosh.
Here we go.
Wowza, wowza, wowza. I love this subject. Okay, and I just want to take this moment as well while I have you with me. So numbers is a big deal in my life as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just 14 years ago, I married my beloved Wes. And we married, just long story cut very short, we married I was 44 years old. Okay, so I've just given away my secret age anyway. Nobody tell anybody.
Yeah, we won't tell anybody. And do not compare how I look to how you look, because we're both the same age then. Like, dude, I don't even want to be on the same screen with you now, Liz. It ain't even right.
So The weeks running up to getting married to Wes, so there's the number 4 is continually featured in my life. I was born on the 24th of the 4th. I was 44 when I got married. 4:44 a.m. Night after night after night after night, running up to my wedding, Jesus would wake me up. 4:44 everywhere, and it's gone on for years. 4:44, 4:44, 4:44. 4:44. So that's me personally. There's big story there, but I just thought, I want to understand what you know about numbers, because there's such profound meaning hidden in biblical numbers, isn't there?
Yeah.
So that's my little story. But anyway, over to you.
Well, listen, no, let's unpack that a little bit, because that's
I'd love to.
Is it okay?
Yes.
So I have an addendum inside my book of numbers 1 through 50, and then some bigger numbers as well. Because if you're going to understand prophetic speech, and if you're going to be a collector of the dots, just like you just gave all these, that's you collecting. That's you being watchful and saying, "I will acknowledge him in all my ways, and he will direct my steps." Amen. And so if you're going to do that, well, then, man, you got to start learning that language. And this language is not man's language. This language is God's language. Everything in heaven is numbered. Everything is weighed. Everything is measured, and it all glorifies Jesus. And even in the book of Daniel, if you guys, I want to just invite all of your friends to look up the word palmoni, P-A-L-M-O-N-I. And while it is not translated in English, in the original Hebrew, that is the name of the angel that numbers things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Ooh. Yeah, the King James boys just call him the one that counts, but it actually gives his name, and it's Palmoni. And Palmoni means the wonderful numberer of secrets.
Ooh, golly.
Yeah, that's so profound. The wonderful meaning, he works directly for Jesus, the numberer of secrets or prophetic things. So in our prophetic lifestyle, there's actually there's at least one angel, if not a whole class or species of angels, that's all they do is glorify Jesus through the numbers of things. So, you know, like the number one represents unity. It represents, you know, the primary all the way through the Word of God. The number two represents a faithful witness, right? So you got the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. He sent the disciples out by twos. And two is a faithful witness all the way through the Word of God. Three is what I like to call the whole enchilada. It is, you know, outer court, inner court, you know, most holy place, past, present, and future, sun, moon, and stars, right on you with me, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of that. It's like the whole thing of, you know, Saul and David and Solomon. So when he wants to show you perfect completion, he likes to do that within a number three. But man, if we get to the number four, the theme is always, always how heaven is invading earth. The theme of the number four is always, always how heaven is doing a creative work within the earth. So examples of that is, and I got to get to this because 444 represents the key of David. Okay. And I'll tell you about that here in just a minute. It's the key of David. 444 is, look out, Liz.
But hey,
four. So like when you see God doing his manifest work upon the earth, it's when God is made manifest upon the earth. In fact, the term all the world is in the Bible exactly four times. All the world is in the Bible four times. And so you have north, south, east, and west, right? You have the four elements of the earth. You have the four seasons of the earth. When judgment is made manifest through the earth, he shows up in the sense of the four horsemen. Right on. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four gospels for all the world. There are all these fours. I have a whole list of fours all the way through the Word of God that shows that when God is becoming manifest upon the earth, he likes to put the number four on it. And so when it comes to 444, which if you see a digit one time in the Bible or one time within the Word of God, okay, that means one thing. If it's twice in a row, that's another thing. And if it's three times in a row, it means it's perfectly complete. So like the numerical value of the name Jesus in Greek is 888. Okay, so he is the new beginning. He is the perfect completion of all things made brand new. The word Christ, the numerical value of the word Christ, meaning if you add up the all of the letters, and of course, we know that within Greek and also within Hebrew, the letters have three different meanings. They have a phonic sound, like every letter does. They also have a numerical value because they do not use numerals. They actually use letters. And then, of course, it has a prophetic picture. So we know that we just moved into the six, which is the Yav, which is the nail or the tent peg. It is the connector, right? So that is like a prophetic picture for this year to come because of the number. So you have to be able to do these things at three different levels. But whenever you see 444, what I can tell you in all of my study is that 444 is the key of David. Now, what do you mean the key of David? Behold, I stand at the door, and he says this, I put upon your shoulders, I give you a mantle of the key of David, and you shall open a door that no man should shut. You shall close a door that no man could open. It has to do with portals and access, which is the key of King David. When King David, years ago, 3,000 years ago, when he set up the tabernacle, okay, the tabernacle of King David, which is what God desires to reestablish in these last days, according to Amos 9:11. It's a 9:11 scripture, okay? But God wants to rebuild the tabernacle of David so that everyone has access to King Jesus 24 hours a day. Well, when he set that up in the natural and when he based it around the presence of God, which is where you and I are supposed to camp out, around the presence of God.
Yeah.
Whenever he did that, he had musicians 24 hours a day playing and worshiping. Okay. Well, he had to set a standard of what frequency everybody should tune to. Okay. I am a musician, and whenever I bust out my guitar and I'm going to tune it, we tune today to 440 tuning. Okay. It has always been 444. That is what King David set up as the key of David, or the frequency that opens portals from heaven to earth. Okay.
Oh, wow.
That was changed during the French Revolution. And they changed it worldwide, globally, in the late 1800s and the early 1900s to a new frequency that is actually destructive, and that's 440. And it's so intentional. And so you can actually, if you go to Nashville, Tennessee, which I'm there like four or five times a year, the loop that is around Music City or Nashville, Tennessee, is actually loop 440.
Hmm.
It's the new standard tuning. But the tuning of heaven and the frequency of heaven is 444. That's the prophetic number that God likes to stamp whenever he's talking about portals and the key of King David.
Oh my gosh, that's profound. So it's to do with the frequency, like you said, it's the sound.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
A whole layer of revelation that I've not studied. That's around the key of David. So that's amazing. It's amazing.
I love it.
And I love it as well, because my life, you know, as a prophet, I walk an identificational walk for the bride. So it's kind of like I'm a barometer. Mm-hmm. About what, you know, regarding something of what the Lord is doing in each season. And so I pay attention to that. So what he was speaking to me and all the fours around that time of my life, getting married, all the redemption of that, that was a whole redemptive story, you know, and then the last 14 years, I mean, every detail, he was in the detail. And so I look at that. So I've been on a journey of layers of understanding. So this is a whole other level. It's a whole other level. And I know for other people as well, other numbers are super special. I know lots of people that have had 11, 11 over and over, or 22, 22 over and over and over. And Jesus is making it very clear, isn't he? He's like, listen to me. I'm talking to you. There are hidden mysteries and revelations about to break open over your life and shift you, you know?
Yeah. Isaiah 22, 22 is the key of David.
Right.
That's what Isaiah 20, you know that, you know, and so Isaiah 22, 22 is that. But, you know, whenever you see cherubim in the Word of God, they're always about guarding sacred space and keeping a space holy. Okay. So you see them on top of the Ark of the Covenant, right? You also see them on the veil that separates the Holy of Holies from everything else. Mm. And they have four faces.
They do.
So it's all about sacred space. It's all about the key of King David. It's about turning something over to the presence of the Lord. And that's your life, Liz. Mm,
it is. It's all about him. It's all about him. My gosh. Can't you feel it, Troy, at the moment? It's like, I feel like we're about to flip as the people of God in terms of the perspective that we have. We're about to switch into such a complete experience of his sovereignty all the time, with the lens is clearing, the mist is clearing, we're going to see rightly. And many of us that have been overwhelmed with traumatic circumstances and difficulties, who felt like we're limping along, you know, on our back foot, I feel the stature of Christ rising inside of us, and the mind of God becoming the predominant thought life of the body of Christ, you know?
It's the difference between visitation and habitation, Liz.
Oh, I love that.
And
yes,
I mean, the Lord
exactly.
is, you know, we're moving from, you know, the Lord visits us from time to time, and we have these profound encounters, to where we live a life of encounter, because Jesus is coming back soon. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's wanting to open the mysteries of who he is to us.
Yes.
You know, and just consume us with him, so that we come in as a powerful force showing up in this world as hope, seriously contagious hope. Okay, I could talk to you for 3 days straight, like nonstop.
We need to
such a massive subject. I know.
We got to do this more. I love talking with you. Thank you.
I agree. I do too. Okay, I wanted to ask you, just for people who are going, okay, where do I start? How do I step into this next level of the way I live my life and how I view? How I view God and the world and my life through this lens? What would you say helpful next step?
First step for me is I refuse to not be fascinated with everything about Jesus. I want to be fascinated with Jesus in everything. everything. And so pursuing the heart of the Father and being bound and determined to have an eye to see and to have an ear to hear, living a watchful lifestyle of, hey, I'm pumping gas and it ends at $84.84. That happened to me yesterday. And I went, ooh, I know what that means. And I was like, whoa, Jesus, I got a word from the Lord. And it was a silly receipt from the gas pump. But I'm like, no, that might be silly to somebody else. But that is God inviting my time and space because he is here. He is presently with me everywhere that I go. Okay, if I live in that, that means that I'm going to live in the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all of this wisdom. Mm-hmm. And living a lifestyle of knowing God sees me, God hears me, God Almighty is with me, and I'm going to love what God loves. I'm going to hate what God hates. I'm going to literally conform my heart to his image 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then also, I would say this, I would do everything that I could do to learn biblically what the numbers are. And again, I have two books on this. I have Numbers That Prophesy. I'm not pushing my book. I'm just telling you about a resource. But it all started with a book that was called Numbers of Scripture. And that was like 25 years ago. We're actually doing a reboot this year on that in the month of December. But I would learn this thing and I would be willing to learn the language. And then I would start looking around me and I would say, okay, God, what are you talking to me? And don't let me miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to. And the Lord said, okay, but what if I'm talking to you about a theme you don't want to talk about in a situation you don't think I will speak in? Because he will. So just because God is speaking doesn't mean that you know it. Just because you know it doesn't mean that you understand it. Just because you understand it doesn't mean you know what to do with it. Just because you know what to do with it does not mean that you know what the outcome is going to be. And just because you know what the outcome is going to be doesn't mean it's necessarily going to happen. Can you walk with Jesus through all five of those precepts? And I would start there.
Powerful, so powerful. He wants us completely consumed in our relationship with him, doesn't Amen. He? Like living from yes, the does. Inside of our relationship and our union with him out into the world as, yeah, with his mind and his heart. Just powerful, powerful, powerful. We have about 2 minutes, Troy. Would you please pray for people as we finish?
Yeah, friends, I want to encourage you and tell you this. God is speaking to you. He hasn't left you out. He loves you. You are still his little boy or you're still his little girl, however old that you are. He actually does not hate your humanity. He loves your humanity and he wants to redeem every single part of it. So let me pray for you. All right. Father God, sir, I want to lift up all of my friends, God, that are watching right here, right now. And God, I pray, God, for an eye to see. I pray, God, for an ear to hear. I pray, Lord God Almighty, sir, that you would cause us, God, to consider and to be provoked and quickened by your Holy Spirit to see within the thunderous and within the subtle events around us, God, that the still small voice is in the midst of all of that. Any form of discouragement, any form of anxiety, any form of hopelessness, which is the influence of a lie, I rebuke and I say, Holy Spirit, come. Please speak to all of my friends. I pray, God, for Liz. I pray, God, that you bless her ministry. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you bless her marriage. God, speak to her also, sir, in new and profound ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We agree. We agree. And I receive that. Amen. Guys, remember, your life is his story. One day in the future, you will savor every moment of your life that's been part of your relationship with Jesus. You are his story, and he will rewrite the narratives that have been challenging in your life and be glorified through it because you are his story. Amen. Troy, thank you for giving us your precious time. It's always amazing being with you.
You are a gift to the body of Jesus. And I want to speak to all of your viewers. I want to speak to everybody and say, man, support this great ministry. Support Liz's ministry. It's going all over the world. And guys mm-hmm. like me need this ministry. So please support her ministry.
Thank you, Troy.
God bless you.
Oh, bless you. And guys, bless you. Have the most amazing week. Loving Jesus and being loved by him. And I'll see you next week. God bless.